The Ron Van Dam that you hear on this podcast is not an act for an audience. Ron is genuinely miserable all the time. It's a little disturbing, to be honest. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, whatever.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Heard in a podcast, radio, internet vein, and on some syndication stations across the country on the radio. Remember the radio, that thing that is a box and sound comes out of it? Yeah, I know. It was a while ago, but it's called radio. I have to explain these things. Remember radio before it was bastardized, where you turn on the radio and basically they're just people who own companies doing hour-long commercials? Yeah, that's what it is now. Ugh, yuck. Any event, thank you so much for coming. Make yourself comfortable. I'll be passing around trays of finger sandwiches. You know which finger I'm referring to. Becky will be coming down the center aisle with cocktails. I wish. I don't even know who Becky is. I just made up the name. Figure this out now. What day is this? Sunday? Is it Sun? No, I don't do shows on Sunday. Can't be Sunday. Is it Tuesday? It does begin with a T. It's Thursday. Wow, how did that happen? I'm so tired. Oh, man. Are you tired? Are you fatigued? There must be a medication you can take. A couple of nights ago, I decided to buy a bottle of Z-Quil. Do you know what that is? You remember NyQuil, where if you had a little shot of NyQuil before you went to bed, it's supposed to be for the cold and flu, but, you know, it would knock you out and you'd have a very peaceful sleep. I used to look forward to having a cold so I could take the damn stuff. Then they came out with this thing. Thanks on the music. Then they came out with Z-Quil, and it's non-habit forming. Right. By the way, anything that says non-habit forming, it'll form habits. There's no question. If you have the personality, which is called an addictive personality, you will form a habit to anything. Believe me. It's not hard to do. Anything that you enjoy doing whenever you can is addictive. It will be addictive. It shall be your demise. All right, let's move on, shall we? Oh, how are you, by the way? Did you wake up this morning and have a lot of aches and pains? I didn't. I'm fine. Anyway, here's something interesting in the news. There's this thing called a pandemic. Am I pronouncing that properly? It's been going on for a couple of years now. Trump thought it would just be a couple of months or a couple of weeks. Boy, was he wrong. Although he's never wrong about anything, but boy, was he wrong. Many of the Democratic states are dropping their mask mandates in a couple of weeks, most of them at the end of the month or at the beginning of March. These are Democratic states where the vaccination rates are very high. Anywhere from a 65 to 75% vaccination rate is very good. And with the stupidity of humanity in this country, that number is actually amazing. So that means that kids in school won't have to wear masks anymore, just pants. Yeah, just because you don't wear a mask, kids, doesn't mean you can walk around without pants on. And that goes double for the adults and the parents. Dropping your mask is not like dropping your pants. It's different. Anyway, they say this with caution. The CDC, which is three letters of fun, says, well, not so fast now, but the states are saying, no, our vaccine rates are very, very high. I think we can pull this off. Bottom line, no one's really saying it, but I'll say it. Let's enjoy the fact that the numbers are falling for now because they could start going up again. You might have to go back to a mask, so let's just enjoy it while we can. I think that's the underlying, under-the-breath kind of thing that people are saying. Let's give people a break here psychologically. Doesn't mean this is over. Just means until the next variant comes into town. It's like the Old West. How are you? How's Miss Kitty in the saloon? Everybody's fine. Everybody's fine. I hear there's another variant coming into town. Oh. Yeah, I got to call the sheriff. Get those masks on again. Got a variant coming into town. All right. Anyway, oh, by the way, that's my Wild West impression. Huh? Did you like that? Thank you very much. Thank you. Wild West impression. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Anyway, thank you. Oh, my God. It wasn't that good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll have to do those impressions more frequently. So anyway, that means in public places you probably don't have to wear a mask. School-wise, of course, it's up to the individual school districts in many cases, but statewide, there's no mandate anymore for those particular states. Other states will follow suit. But that's the deal right now. And I'll tell you something. There's still a lot of COVID cases, but they're basically of the unvaccinated. Now, let's not argue about this. Percentage-wise, those that are unvaccinated are taking a chance. They might get COVID and be just fine, or they may die. Here's the thing. We're at a point today, I don't know about tomorrow, but we're at a point today where you still got to be careful. It's still up to you if you want. If you feel comfortable going to a rock concert or a public place wearing a mask, wear it. It's okay. Wear a mask. It's fine. That's all right. But you don't have to, is what some of these states are now saying. Here's the thing. There are a lot of people in this country who still smoke cigarettes. I know. Apparently they didn't read the paper. Because smoking cigarettes can give you all kinds of cancers, destroy your lungs. I think we all know somebody that is no longer with us for that very reason. Talk about addictive personalities, huh? There's nothing to argue about. We all know it. Smoking cigarettes is a health hazard beyond health hazards. I mean, it is. There are some people that choose to smoke knowing full well that they are taking an incredible chance with their life, destroying their body. Okay, do other people get lung cancer too? Yeah, that can happen. But if you smoke cigarettes, you're really in a whole peck of trouble. Those people still go to the hospital. They still get treated because this is America. A-M-E-R-I-C-A. I'm just proving that I can still spell. it's America, which means no matter how vapid an American citizen can be, we will still treat you medically, even though you did this to yourself. We still treat you. You still get the health coverage and all that stuff. Although, when you get health coverage, they always say, do you smoke cigarettes? And you have to lie, you know, and say, no, I don't. Of course you do. You do 20 packs a day. We all know it. Smoking a pack is bad. Smoking a carton a day, that's really pushing it. But we treat you anyway. You still get health insurance. You may have to pay a little bit more, but you still get it. I don't know if anybody smokes for religious reasons, but I bet some people do. I don't think it says in the Bible that you have the freedom to smoke, and I'm not sure. I haven't read that thing in a long time. Haven't stayed in a hotel room for a while. By the way, if you've ever been to hotel rooms within the past, 700 years, now at least the past decade, they don't put Bibles in hotel rooms anymore. No, they don't. You open up that drawer that the Bible used to be there, it's a free pack of condoms. And a wise choice at that. Now, if you want to read the Bible, you're going to have to pick it up yourself. Yeah, at the local bookstore right next to the Archie Comics. Anyway, that wasn't even funny. That was offensive, by the way. Anyway, people do choose to smoke cigarettes. And, you know, that's what America is about. It's about what freedom is about. You have the freedom to be unhealthy. So it's time to just let it go. You know, if people don't want to help themselves, then that's that. There are the immunocompromised who are, their immune system is not great. Let's respect them always. There's never a clear-cut situation to resolve to anything. You ever been married? There's no clear-cut resolve. You just live with it. Come on. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? A Bible in every hotel room? No, should be a book in every hotel room on how to survive a marriage or a relationship. That should be in every hotel room. And I'm just the guy to write that book. Only I'm busy and I don't have time. Anyway, there's your COVID update, which I did not intend to give. Right, fine. How are you doing, by the way? How are you feeling? Yeah? You know, with the COVID thing, every time for a long time, every time I felt fatigued, I thought I would test positive. Every time I felt fatigued because it was one of the symptoms. And when they got into the mild symptom thing where you can still have COVID but your symptoms are mild, fatigue, I thought, uh-oh. But I realized I've been fatigued all my life. I was fatigued as a kid. Ronnie, go out and play with the other children, my God. They're playing in the street. They're playing ball. Go out and play with the kids, Ronnie. I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I'm just going to take a nap. What the hell's wrong with you? I'm fatigued. Yeah, I've always been fatigued. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a difference between fatigued and laid back. I just don't know what it is. Ron, you seem so laid back. No, I'm fatigued. Tired? No, fatigued. We have these words that that kind of make it fancy, you know? It's like drinking water. Are you thirsty? No, I'm not thirsty. Well, what are you? I'm dehydrated. You what? Are you don't drink enough water? No, that's not what it is. I'm dehydrated. I've got to hydrate myself. It's kind of like watering the plants. Do you have indoor plants that aren't fake? You have to water them every once in a while. That's what helps them grow and stay alive so they don't wilt and die. It's the same with people. You need to water yourself every once in a while. Yeah, it sounds like taking a shower. You should shower every once in a while. By the way, don't shower too much because that will dry out your skin, especially in the winter. I'm not a doctor, but neither is Dr. Phil anymore, so let's not mince words here. Don't shower so much. Don't shower. Maybe you're extremely clean, but it does nothing for your brain, so stop it. And it dries out your skin. How often should you shower? What am I, Buddha? I don't know. Talk to your doctor. I have no idea. Do one of those telemedicine things. You familiar with that? You do a telemedicine thing? A lot of us did that during the shut down. A lot of us did that. Instead of going to the, there was no point to going to the doctor unless it was a complete physical where they're going to shove their finger up your ass. Other than that, there's really no point. You should be able to go get your blood pressure checked anywhere. I mean, that should be like an aisle number 7 at Market Basket or, you know, that's, I mean, you know, we go that we spend like $500 for a doctor visit. Well, that's what insurance says. And all they did was stick their finger up my ass and take my blood pressure and talk to me and type into the computer. And then I left after sitting in a tiny little room all by myself for half an hour. That's $500. Well, what the pandemic showed was that, well, for follow-up things, you can just do a telemedicine thing. That's a new word we made up. We're making up words left and right here. So, yes, and then and the doctor wanted to do a video telemedicine thing. I said, why don't the doctor just call me and we can talk on the phone and, you know, I can lower my voice and breathe heavy, whatever the doctor wants, and whatever. I said, no, we want to do a telemedicine thing, a video thing, so she can see your face. All right, it's up to her. I don't know why she gets off on something like that. I mean, is she going to diagnose me based on a small half-inch screen? I mean, what the hell's going on here? Just call me. I'll just come over for a couple of finger sandwiches here, you know, like that's the difference. Why do I have to sit in a room for half an hour waiting for the doctor to show up, take all my clothes off, put a robe on backwards so it's open in the back, which is not a fashion statement for me. Doctor comes in, takes my blood pressure, says, how you doing? I say, fine. Doctor leaves. $500, please. What? Come on. It didn't make sense, and it doesn't make sense. So the follow-ups really should be just done over the phone, seriously, or through a text or something. You know. I think I'm the only person in the world that blocks phone calls from my doctor. I block their number. Stop bothering me. I'll give you a call if I need you. Anyway, I'm studying now for my blood test. Yeah, they give me a blood test once a year. They test my blood. So I've got to study hard. They want to see what's going on with my blood. And, okay, is there some way I can mail this to you or something? No, Ron, you've got to go to a place. They're going to draw blood from you. You know, some people actually give blood, and thank God for those people, because we're short of blood. The Red Cross keeps saying that there's a blood shortage, and I keep saying, did you look inside people's bodies? There's a lot of it in there. You know, Ron, they need to donate their blood. Donate their blood. I don't know how much extra I have. I don't understand that whole thing. I'm a talk show host. I'm supposed to know a little bit about everything. Donating blood. Man, you know, if there's an old pair of pants that I don't want to wear anymore, they don't fit, I'll donate that to the Salvation Army or something like that. But donating blood that I'm already using? I think I need it. I don't know. I think I need my blood. I don't know how that works, but thank God there are people that donate blood. They do get paid for it, by the way, and I think they get a bowl of ice cream. I don't know how that works. I really don't. I think I'm an organ donor, and every once in a while when I think about it, if someone's at the front door, I don't answer it because it could be someone collecting on my donation. Mr. Van Damme? Yes. How can I help you? Oh, you're an organ donor, right? Yes, I am. Oh, okay. Well, we need some of your organs right now. No. You don't understand. I was going to donate my organs after I wasn't using them anymore. Oh, no. We don't want your reproductive. We don't want your penis, Ron. We want the other organs. I'm using them. By the way, why would they want my organs if they, maybe they're not that good? Retrospectively, I'd rather give blood than my organs. Yeah. Every once in a while you hear the story of somebody that donated a kidney. Those are heroes. That's the definition of a hero. I'm giving you an organ. It's going to put me in a precarious situation perhaps someday, but I'm going to give you an organ to save your life. Those are heroes. Those are the heroes. Because I don't think I would do that. I just don't do it. How are you going to get my organ out of there? All right, I get donating blood. You're going to stick a needle in my arm and draw blood out of me, and apparently my body's making blood all the time. I'm not familiar. I don't know how that works. But I don't think I grow kidneys, so not sure here. I sound very selfish, but I think I'm pretty much expressing the way that you would feel as well. There used to be organ donor cards that you would carry around with you. I believe in case you were in an accident, they would go through your wallet. And if you had an organ donor card, they would check off which organs can be taken at that time. And my response would be, whoa, slow down here, man. Slow down on your organ collections here, baby. Don't be so eager. Some people have their bodies frozen. I don't know. Where do you put the stick? I think we both know the answer to that. Frozen Ron on a stick. Yeah, I think that's a possibility. It would take a huge stick, but I don't know the difference between that and a proctology exam. I mean, I think it's the same thing. All right, that's enough. Between the sticks and the gloves and the fingers and the hoses with cameras at the end, I think one of those telemedicine things probably would be a better option. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest joins us momentarily. And none too soon as that. We'll be right back after this word from the good people.
Gentlemen, you know that when you decide to get engaged, you'll be making one of the most important investments of your life. Think about it. From the moment you get down on bended knee and present the ring, how much you actually love someone will be judged solely on the size of the stone you buy. And not just by the one you love, but by literally everyone she knows. And strangers. At Schlickershek the Jewelers, we know that when you're about to cough up what amounts to a few months' rent to obtain the exclusive naming rights to a vagina, you want to be able to be sure that you've made the best choice. So if you've decided it's time to staple gun your man tackle to a single hitching post and to never be able to experience the simple joy of a meaningless hookup without handing over half your stuff, come to Schlickershek the Jewelers and see our amazing line of certified high-quality shallow female ego strokers. Take it from me, Herbert Schlickershek the I'm not just your local jeweler. I've been married 6.5 times. Vegas marriages, boys. Very easy to annul when the shrew goes south on you. And she will.
Hello, how are you?
Great, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic, thank you.
It sounds like you are, actually, so that's good.
I've got coffee on hand, so it's always a good morning. You got coffee.
Okay, you're drugged up. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Rhea Fry joins us now. She's talking about becoming a published author. She's a multi-published, award-winning, best-selling author and founder of Right Way. This is an interesting subject matter. Are more people writing quote unquote books than ever before?
Yes, I can personally attest to that because I started my business officially at the top of 2020, right before the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. Our company is all about writers who want to get published. And I immediately thought, oh my gosh, no one is going to want to write a book. And in fact, it was quite the opposite. I have never seen more people going after their dreams and trying to get their work out into the world.
It's so interesting. I think it stopped a lot of people from pursuing that because it became so political and so like you got to have connections. Otherwise, what's the point? So it's almost like a catharsis for people.
It is. The amazing thing about today is you can get published. If you have a book, mm-hmm. you 1,000% can get published, but it's deciding what publication path is right for you, which is what we really spend a ton of time on, is deciding is self-publishing right for you, is hybrid publishing right for you, is traditional publishing right for you. So knowing that you have an in and you can get your book out there mm-hmm. is kind of a huge weight off, because it can often feel like a game of vanity metrics and who has the biggest following gets noticed. And yeah. I think that's just really starting to change.
It is so interesting. I remember when websites started to become popular and there were plenty of .coms available. And then just like a few years ago, it's like, no, there's no .coms. Even if you put your own name in, somebody already took it. So it's like so saturated, it's unbelievable. So I thought that was the same with publishing, but it's kind of not. There's all different niches. I wrote a book about 15 years ago, and that wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part was getting it published and then marketing it. I mean, it's not the end game, just writing it.
No. Oh, don't even get me started. That's really what our business is for, because I feel like a lot of people focus on the writing. Like, if I write a good book, I'll sell it and make a million copies, right? No. But no one teaches us how to be authors, how to understand the business, how we get paid, how to sell effectively. So we really focus on how to get published and then what to do once you are published. Because as you just said, writers are no longer writers. We're social media wizards. We're marketing gurus. We're salespeople. We're public speakers. And it can be extremely overwhelming when you just want to focus on the craft.
That's true. And not everybody writes a book, makes $1 million. But there's other benefits. But there are other benefits to it. I mean, I've read a lot of books that other people have authored, and they suck. So I mean, it's not like just because you write one, it's you know, you have to be kind of good at it. But at the same time, there's just it's such a cleansing experience. It is important, and thank God now there's a place where you can actually have it published, because that was the end game. You couldn't do anything with it when you wrote them before.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it seems, you know, when you look at the stats and you see like, oh, it's so hard to get an agent or so hard to get a publisher. That's actually what we do at our company. We primarily work with nonfiction authors, but we create that book proposal and then we actually pitch it to agents that we know and trust and get them out into the world. So in the last 2 years, we've had over 65 first-time authors land agents and book deals.
Wow.
And it's been incredible, because we're a teeny tiny team. But I think when you understand how to pitch, how to match yourself with an agent, how to say yes to the right book deal and not just jump at the first thing that comes at you, it can be really amazing, because all you need is one yes. rejects. I think this industry is 99.9% of rejection, but one yes is all you really need. So when you look at it like that, it's not that hard. You just have to be patient.
That's incredible. Actually, you've written a lot of books. You got one coming out now about this very subject.
Just yesterday, actually, I had a book come out. It's a novel, actually, called Secrets of Our House. But so I work primarily with nonfiction authors. I've had nonfiction books published in the past, but I primarily write fiction, which is a really interesting thing to entrench myself in nonfiction, but to publish fiction.
Yes.
So it's such a fun experience that I get to have my hands in everything.
That's credible. And I guess you know what you're doing as far as that's concerned.
I mean, it's a lot of trial and error, but I'm very honest about, you know, it's great to be an author, and I think we romanticize it, but it's also really hard.
Yeah.
And we don't talk about that enough. We talk about our successes and not necessarily the actual process of going through it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing in life comes easy. If you know, I mean, not everybody can make a zillion dollars. It's interesting to me, in a sense that, when you're writing, if one of your writings does become popular, is that like a golden ticket, after that, like everything that you write is pretty much going to be accepted?
Yes and no. So I'll use myself as an example. When my debut novel came out in 2018, it got a movie deal before it came out, and there was all this fanfare, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is just incredible. And I ended up with a 4-book deal because of that. But in all honesty, I feel like nothing was as popular as that first book was. And I hear that from a lot of authors. They'll hit it really big.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have wild success. They don't have a problem getting a book deal, but it's kind of like there's nowhere to go but down.
Yeah.
They're always wondering, will I sell as well? There's so much pressure, whether you're middle of the road, whether you're indie publishing, whether you're, you know, a New York Times bestselling author. Mm-hmm. It's just, you're only as good as your next book and your next sales. So it kind of just depends on circumstances.
It's very much like it is show business, actually.
You 100%.
You know, you have a good performance, and well, how do I top that so that they think the next performance is even better than that, and then the next one's got to be better than that. So people drive themselves nuts. And how many great
pop? Yes, they do.
Yeah,
we do.
Yeah, sure. That's why you drink coffee in the morning.
I know.
Can you quick give us 3 top tips that you could give authors who want to be published authors?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I sound like a broken record because I say this all the time, but understand that this is a business and your book is a product to sell.
Okay.
It's not just about writing. You have to understand the business, how you get paid, how to negotiate contracts, what the expectations are of your publishing house if you do land a traditional publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And then that segues into really understanding that there are barriers to entry with traditional publishing.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it's the strength of the author platform and the saleability or marketability of your book or product. So understanding that too, so you can decide, ooh, is this the right publication path for me?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the ones that I think is the most important is define what success for your career means to you, not what Joe Schmo's idea of success is, or not what, you know, all these other huge authors are out there, but what does success look like for you? Because when you do that, it takes a lot of the pressure off and you can make sure that you're following your own correct path.
Wow. Okay. So how do people get involved with Right Way?
Yes. So everything, we are so old school. We do not advertise on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We don't market. We're all word of mouth referral only. So everyone can come to our website, which is rightwayco.com. It's RightWayco.com. We have a weekly newsletter. We have a weekly podcast called The Real Story, which demystifies the publishing industry and tells everyone what they need to know. But people can book free consults with me to just kind of chat about, you know, what they want, what they're thinking about. So it's really a one-stop shop for any writer's needs.
Mm-hmm. Do they contact you after they've written a book or before they sit down and write a book?
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. Okay. People come to us with concepts or ideas. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're wanting to sell a nonfiction book, a lot of people are like, I've written the book, and that does not matter. You have to create the book proposal. That's how you sell a nonfiction book, not with the book itself. So it's a totally different process.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
Well, there you go.
I've learned a lot of things here from you. Rhea, it's a pleasure. One more time, that website and contact.
Yes, it's writewayco, WRITEWAYCO.com. Everything you need to know is on that site.
I think a lot of people have all of a sudden waken up to a great idea, and you've answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, I agree.
I appreciate it.
Well, great. I'm so glad.
Okay. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate you.
Well, that will do it for me today. You have been wonderful. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. How does he do it? I don't know. Until that time arrives, I wish you peace.